Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy New Year to you. Happy 2024. And welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so it is officially 2024. I hope the new year is off to a wonderful start for you. As we look at the calendar, today is already Tuesday, January 9th. So we are already into the second year of January, which means that January only has about 3 more weeks before it is over. So we are back. It is wonderful to be back with you as we continue to get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So we are back. There is no need to feel guilty or any sort of way because we did not achieve the goal that we set out last year, because God willing, we have time this year to get back on track. And if you were able to finish that important goal for 2023, we say congratulations to you, because I am sure that some of us were able to accomplish the goals that we set out for ourselves in 2023. But we are back. If you achieve that goal in 2023, then it's time to set another goal for 2024 as we continue to work to move our lives forward in important ways. So maybe you lost the weight that you were trying to lose. Maybe you got back into school, but yet again, we have other goals. Maybe we're trying to change careers, improve our relationships. So this is where we stop by every week to just tap in to our potential and remind ourselves of those important life goals, set reminders of what we need to do, create those to-do lists of what we need to do to achieve those goals. So again, thank you for being here. We always like to start the week off with a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for? This week, I'm sure you're grateful that you got to see another year, 2024. So I'm sure that you're grateful for that. We're grateful for life. We're grateful that hopefully we are all in good health and great spirits. And we are grateful for any support system that we have. And like I always say, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, just remember you woke up this morning. So we have another great program for you this week. Our interview this week is going to be with Dr. Margaret Wallace and Mr. Alex Bruno, who both recently published very important works of art from Dominica. So they've both published books recently, and we want to be a repository for everyone who's out there working hard to publish a book, anyone from Dominica or Dominican Heritage. So we'll bring you that interview in just a little while. And then, of course, stay tuned for after the interview as we talk about getting 2024 off to the right start, getting 2024 off to a productive start. So let's enjoy this number from, I believe we have, who do we have today? Colton T. Phase, as we remind ourselves that many times our problems are temporary and we should not stress too much over temporary problems. I will also try to bring you some of the 2024 calypsos from next week. So we have the songs are coming out, and I will make you form your own opinions about the Calypso songs for 2024. So you can expect to hear some of our Calypso songs from 2024 from next week. Excuse me. So again, let's enjoy this number from Colton T, My Troubles, They Don't Faze Me, as we get into the program. And then once the song is over, we will go straight into a pre-recorded interview with Alex Bruno and Dr. Treffy. So take a listen, enjoy this number, and stay tuned for the rest of the program.
Struggles, them are temporary. My trouble days could never face me. They could never face me though. They could never face me though. Yeah, I'm out of struggles on my face, and today I'm still alright. Yeah, just believe in yourself, cause faith in yourself is a light. Don't dwell on the past, tell yourself that the future will be bright. Yeah, from your half-life, you possess the energy of a fighter, yeah. My struggles, they're more temporary. My trouble days could never face me. They could never face me though, yeah. They could never face me though. Expectations breed disappointments. But stressing over things you can't control is a problem. Avoid them if you can't do it. No situation is permanent, and nothing bad lasts forever. But struggle is a part of the life that we live, so best get it together. My struggles, they are temporary. And my trouble days never face me. They could never face me though, yeah. They could never face me though, yeah. The amount of struggles on my face, and today I'm still alright. Just believe in yourself, cause faith in yourself is light. Don't dwell on the past, tell yourself that the future will be bright. From your half-life, you possess the energy of a fighter, yeah. My struggles, they are temporary. My trouble days could never face me. They could never face me though, yeah. They could never face me though. My trouble days, they are temporary. My struggles, them could never face me. They could never face me though, yeah. They could never face me though.
How much Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle, fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com or call 877-698-9894.
Welcome to Roots Connections on Q. Today we are asking the question,
How are we using our literary works, our books and publications to preserve and advance our culture and to advance us as a people, especially for the benefit of our upcoming generation? So Dr. Trippi and Alex, let us begin the conversation this evening by drawing on your expertise in psychology and political science to first take a look at the state of Dominica today. So I think that is a good place to start. So for example, Dr. Trippi, in the recent incident where we saw the double murder, the unfortunate double murder of the owners of Coulibri Ridge, why is it that for some of us, a public road is simply a public road to be accessed by everyone? But for others, it becomes an obsession that they simply cannot let go of. So let's draw on your expertise this evening to just get a general sense of the state of Dominica right now.
I want to start by saying I feel so sad about that event. I'm really wanting to express my condolences to the family and the community, because the community seems to have been very connected to the family. Ah, you talk about what is this about? What is this about that a public road that people have used for decades, if not longer, becomes an obsession? I think Dominica is tied as a people with an idea of Natty Well. Natty Well is unconditional love for yourself and for other people, animals too. So we're always looking to help somebody else. We're looking to invite the stranger into our homes. We cook for them. We leave extra food for them. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of Natty Well. But we have to be cognizant of the fact that we are inviting many new Dominicans in who have not yet been socialized to the idea of Dominica. But I think the onus is on us to educate people that this is how we are, and to definitely appreciate the value of who we are, number one, because if you appreciate the value of who you are as a people, then you're going to feel very comfortable expressing that to new Dominicans as they come. Because, yeah, this right here is very, very dark and very, very not Dominican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Alex, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, interesting how disciplines can merge. Because Dr. Trippi actually spoke about it from a psychological point of view. Me, in terms of the emerging cultures of Dominica, we have our culture has shifted, our political culture has shifted, and Dominica's mainstream culture is evolving. We have other groups of people who have been introduced to the culture. And what Dr. Trippi is saying, we should kind of try to teach them the Dominican way, the thing that makes us unique, which is tough. Especially when people come with their own ideas, their own ideals, their own money, their own ambition, their own greed, their own selfishness, their own attitude, their own manier. So to preserve what is truly Dominican when people are coming with what they truly are, it's going to be tough. So policies must be put in place. The family becomes a major factor. The societal group continues to be a mainstay. And the Dominican way generally, which seem to have been lost within the political divide that we have experienced in Dominica, especially over the past decade or two. So there are a lot of competing variables against that thing that we know ourselves to be, and other cultures are emerging and probably would dominate Dominican mainstream culture eventually. The culture of money, the culture of materialism, the culture of possession, etc. So it's going to be tough, Dr. Trippi and Dr. Matthew, for us to maintain our Dominicanness in an evolving Dominica, but we can't surrender Dominica to the whims and fancies of people who have their own idea of what life should be. I mean, we don't kill people like that for because of issues of a main road. I mean, we can make our little Deba, our little Mepui, but it ends there. Mm-hmm. So that's a new thing, and probably it calls on people like you and Dr. Trifi and Dr. Matthew to, first of all, see where we are and see what we can do about switching things around a bit, because we may lose our identity as Dominicans if the right policies are not put in place to safeguard what is truly Dominica.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that you said that, Alex, because you make a very valid point and one that I had not thought of as yet, that bringing in new people with the sale of the passports and the citizen by investment program, that is potentially introducing new cultures to Dominica. So it begs the question, what are the pros and the cons of these new cultures? Because like you eloquently said, Alex, we might give somebody a piece of mepui for infringing on our property, but I have yet to heard of the brutality that we saw happen in terms of land disputes in Dominica. Dr. Trifi, any thoughts on that?
Look, Alex, I really appreciate what Alex just said. It made me think about the rigorous entry we had to experience becoming Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is painful. And within that painful process, you are forced to learn about the culture, about the politics, about the system, what is going to be required. Yeah. And I don't know that we have thought that far to include that in part of our acculturation process as we open the doors to many new citizens. So we're asking people to come. We're asking them to come, but we have to, what are they coming to? Are they coming to just, like Alex say, just dominate? And the thing is, the force of money is powerful and the force of certain cultures is powerful. Yeah, but so there must be that, that depends on how you view yourself, though. If I think I'm valuable and I'm worthy, then when you come into my space, I want to teach my process. I want to teach you about me. Yes, I make that a part of your coming into my space. But if I don't put any barriers, not barriers, but challenges. Yeah. Again, the way we have to experience it when we move to Canada, when we move to the US.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're asking, you're inviting a bigger force. You're already inviting an innately stronger force than you into your space, and you're not doing anything to socialize them to your system. That is not going to end well.
Not for us.
No, because and from what we're hearing, many of the local people were in a lot of pain and suffering from their interactions with these people, with this couple. So I don't know that anything was done about it seriously. It should have been addressed.
Like and I want to come to you, Alex, but it also speaks to, you know, as I always think of myself as Dominican, doesn't matter how long I've been in this country. Mm-hmm. But I think when you have the opportunity and the privilege of being invited to reside in somebody else's country, to me, that comes with a certain level of respect. And I think when, for example, we see Jonathan's wife being completely disrespectful to another fellow, we consider him a Dominican because Daniel and his partner, for all that they contributed, were in fact Dominicans after living in Dominica for so many years. To see the level of disrespect, to me, it speaks to a level of disrespect for the country. Because as someone who I still consider myself a foreigner in this land, there's a certain level of respect that I hold for the United States. And I just found it completely unbelievable that someone felt so entitled to disrespect somebody, the Dominican man, the man who was standing outside of the car, as well as Danielle, who we consider Dominican, to the point where she had her dogs ready to attack. So I think when we invite people to our country, we have to remind them that there are laws that apply to them as foreigners that have to be obeyed as well. So that begs the question, Alex, and I want to hear your comments on everything that you're thinking of as well. You know, despite the many complaints, and if you're just joining us for the beginning of the program, we're just looking at the state of affairs in Dominica right now. But Alex, despite all the complaints, it seems like the laws, there was preferential treatment. Because the guy who committed the murder was clearly a participant in the CBI program. So what are your thoughts on that? Is there preferential treatment for certain classes of people in Dominica? And should we be concerned?
Yes, they are preferential citizens. And there are different kind of treatment for different people based on your socio-political positioning. And that has been the case, especially of late. And that is sad. I think there is a particular glorification of wealth, what some people refer to as wealth money. Mm-hmm. And people who have it and people who can dish it out are the ones who are seemingly getting, well, not all those with money, but the people with money who are supporting those who want the support from them based on their money. We're talking politics now. So they are the ones who are seen as favorite citizens. And that's a problem. And it goes right back to the question of how have we organized Dominica? And Dr. Trifi said, and you, of course, and can attest to that, Dr. Simon and Dr. Matthew, that living out of America, out of Dominica, you have to identify with the mainstream culture of the place that you're living in. You don't even have to be a powerful nation to establish yourself. But there is no particular organization as to what makes us Dominican. I can ask Lambino, what makes you Dominican? Lamb, you're going to give me a good answer. I'll ask you, Dr. Matthew, you're going to give me a good answer. I can ask Dr. Trifi, you're going to give me a good answer. But none of our answers are going to synchronize with each other. I can sit now and tell you what makes an American, the spirit of invincibility, that we are American, we can do the unimaginable. What makes us Dominican? Maybe CO, but that's not it for me. It might not be that for Lambie, and certainly not for Dr. Trifi and you. We will all have different reasons, which are good reasons, but there is no identifiable set of ideas that define us as a people. We need to do that. Until and unless we do that, which should have been done since independence, we are in trouble because our identity is just so fluid and mixed and anything goes. It's like, okay, so what? We have a kind of don't care attitude about us, which makes us unique, but it doesn't make us strong. So we just need to find a way to organize our country. Somebody must write an essay or come up with a policy like Libla tried that identifies us as a people of culture and agriculture. And we stand by it, but we have lost almost everything that defined us as a people. The last I hear is that the Botanic Gardens is going to be used for a venue where people will be using glittering balls at night, whatever it is, dangling glittering balls. I mean, the garden should be used for what the purpose the garden was established for, to preserve our flora and fauna. To put an edifice of concrete infrastructure in the gardens is just really, you know, putting more concrete on top of the nature that we were created as. So I'm saying all of that to tease you, Dr. Trifi and Dr. Matthew, about doing something about identifying us as a people, so we won't be used and trampled over by people who come to our space and enforce their ideas and their ways on us. I mean, I'm talking about ways and ideas across the board. So I think problem number one, government policies, cultural norms, community spirit that speaks to the unique people that we are. Peaceful, friendly, loving people who will help each other out through adversity, who will have a good argument or good debate, but after it all, we cook in a broth.
Not well. And I think we're on the brink of just that natty well spirit just evaporating.
Gone, yeah.
I think it's it's become very hard for people to walk in that way and to live in that way. And we have to return to a place where if, okay, so we're facing challenges, right? You have this, it's an assault. You have an assault on what is Dominican. Well, as a Dominican, we have to decide, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to protect yourself? The onslaught is going to keep coming. So how will I come back at it? And because of the way that life has evolved, the kids are no longer necessarily sitting, you know, by the side of the road. They're inside on their phones and this and that. We have to figure out how to do that so that we don't just lose the little grease. Yeah, that's been keeping us together.
Yeah, yeah, and it speaks to what we want to discuss next, which is the shifting of our culture. Is our culture in Dominica shifting? And if so, in what way? And what is contributing to the shift in our culture? You know, Alex already started talking about the CEO culture that we're seeing now in Dominica, the culture of immediate gratification, right? It's about looking forward to the next CEO, the next action, the next party. He talked about the how fluid our culture is. So what does that speak to when we talk about a fluid culture? Because as far as I know, you know, we need solid ground to stand as a people. So if we have a fluid culture where we're simply blowing with the breeze, what are the implications of that fluid culture? And I can tell already that we're going to have a very engaging conversation, because Viva Mamo is saying that that factor is always overlooked. We often focus on the economic and political impact of the CBI program, but the impact is deeper socially and otherwise. And that is in fact true. So while we're focusing about the economic impact, we're not focusing on the cultures of the people that are coming to our island. So how is our culture shifting, and what are the implications of that shift? So anyone can go first.
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay, so boy, fluidity of our culture, what is that? It's like a candle in the wind.
Yes.
And you have gentle breeze, you're fine. But whenever the breeze and the wind turns up, that candle is going to go out. That is the best analogy that I can come up with to speak about the kind of fluidity of the culture that we have experienced in Dominica. There was a time in the mid-1960s when Edward Oliver LeBlanc felt that we were losing ourselves and our identity. And it was under his watch, through his government policy position, that he created a cultural renaissance. Back in the day, in the 60s, coming out of the 50s, you know what happened during the 1950s with the civil rights movements, early, well, late 50s into the 60s. This was a very tumultuous time for the world. And Edward Oliver LeBlanc, a little premier for a very tiny country, felt that we need to do something to stabilize the people. And that's what he did with the framing and the marketing, the preserving of our culture, which we still experience today. But it has been since 1967. What has been done since then to seriously maintain on that tradition? Not much. Not much. So what we need to do is probably to look back while we move forward to see what we can do now. Because another 10, 15, 20 years of this, I am not too sure that a single Dominican idea will be identifiable. Because it is quite rightly said that Viva Mamo, that there are so many other people who own a piece of the citizenship. And I think I heard Dr. Trifi or somebody spoke about the different values of citizenship. The people who purchase the passports, citizens are higher ranked than my citizenship. Because you know what? They have pepesh. They have more, and they have more influence over my policymakers than I, who was born on the island. So I think there are different tiers that comes with the citizenship program, especially those who buy the what passport? Lambi, the not the VIP, the diplomatic passports. Those two even enjoy a higher echelon of citizenship, I think. So I honestly believe there are different tiers of citizenship, And the natural-born Dominicans, I think, are at the lower tier when it compared to the other citizens, with other Dominican citizens that we have.
I mean, that's hard. That's hard to disagree with, because we have to be adults about this. Yeah. Social psychology says the man with the money, yeah, somebody's going to give that person some kind of preferential treatment. Yes. And we have created this. We have, nobody told us to go do it, but we created this artificial group of new Dominicans who, because they have so much money, they can influence so much. And it might not always be in our best interest, as the story of the gentleman in Soufrière shows us. Yes, some people come in for our best interest, and some will not be coming in for our best interest. They'll be coming in for their best interest. But if there is a strong enough force in the island, within the island, I know we are small, but we held on for a long time. If there's a strong enough force, that force can withstand the onslaught, but that force has been tattered. It's been tattered. It's shredded. Yeah, it's very disorganized. People are not, that Natty Well vibe is not there anymore. That looking out for each other is not there anymore, not as strong as it used to be. And you're going to need something like that to take in the brunt of what's coming in. Mm-hmm. It cannot just be about money. Yes, we appreciate the fact that there's more money in the coffers or whatever. But, you know, money is a thing. Money is air. You know, money is going to disappear at a certain point, especially since a lot of that money has not been used to generate new money, as in create a factory that'll keep generating money. So it's like the money is finite. It's going to end. But at what cost? Mm-hmm. At what cost? And we're paying the price already. We're seeing it. And in a way, I think like a lot of people are just kind of watching the accident happen. You know, like your mouth is wide open and you're watching the accident in slow motion happening. Yeah. And people have taken their sides. They're like, well, just hold on long enough. It's going to be okay. Hold on long enough. It's going to be okay. But there's so much fallout in the meantime that must be addressed responsibly. See, okay, so this is what's happening. Let us set policies. Yeah, think about it. What policies can we put in place so that this we can manage this flood that's coming, you know, down the river? But, you know, I mean, I don't know what to do about that. I think enough people have spoken up about this. I'm not sure that they're being heard. You know, I think people are highly emotional about any voice that sounds different than theirs, and so they're not seeing what you're seeing, or at least if they're seeing it, they're avoiding it, and we will all pay the price.
But they're seeing it.
We'll all pay the price.
Yeah, but you know, in the interest of having a balanced conversation, because I always want to make sure we're having balanced conversations on this program, I think we're seeing examples of where foreigners' values may not align with our cultural values. But aren't we seeing that these foreigners are coming in as role models of how to be enterprising, how to be creative with setting up business opportunities? So is that some of the pros that we're seeing? Because I want to make sure that we're looking at the pros and the cons as we talk about the implications for our culture as foreigners are allowed to become residents in Dominica. Alex?
Well... of course, there are pros, because the people who take up residency on our island, of course, albeit using our assets, passport to do so, they are showing us that people can be very successful and people can thrive tremendously from what we have. And we have homegrown Dominicans as well who are showing us that it is possible. I mean, you cannot not mention the Nassifs, you know. Even my dear friend, Sam Raphael, they have the protocols that they use to create the business, but they have used it. Now, some may say we don't have the same privileges as these guys, and that may be so. But we see people thriving in Dominica at different levels. What about the people who are doing the sewing businesses, the Haitians, and the people who are doing the haircuts, the barbering, the people who are doing the bus service, people who are doing agriculture? So at every different level, people are learning to thrive in a system where we are not learning. Well, we are not thriving. The question is why? It might be a political response, a sociological response, a psychological response, a spiritual response, but we have to find out why. Why can people who were not necessarily born here move to Dominica and do so well? Is it a political problem? How are we going to solve the problem? How have we tried to solve the problem? What next? So these are questions I'm just putting out there because people are doing well, some, while most people in Dominica seem not to be doing as well. So you ask questions, Simone, but from questions come more questions.
More questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jeffy.
Yeah, my thoughts on this are this. You have new people coming in, yes, and they're thriving because these people are coming from cultures where they're dealing in higher level technologies than the people on the ground have ever been exposed to. So it's not a fair fight. It's not going to be a fair fight. Access to resources, money, it's not going to be a fair fight. Yeah. They've learned strategies, systems to make business grow. The people have not yet. A few families, like you mentioned, have learned, you know, but I don't think the competition is going to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I read a little post from a young man who said something that hurt my heart yesterday. He said, I know you all are talking about Dominica is this great country, but I feel so much rage that I was not born elsewhere because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That I find to be the case. A lot of people feel that sense of despondency, hopelessness. And a lot of people have pretty much given up. Many, many people have given up. I mean, the work that I've done have proven that. People have just felt that it makes very little sense, even trying. And that is what we have to fight, to get our people not to give up. Because the last I checked, Dominica is like about the most amazing bit of real estate that's remaining on this earth. So some people might be saying, but you call Dominica great, but I don't feel it. And that is some people's reality. In fact, I think the majority of people that I speak to are now facing that reality. The last time I was on the island, I met a teacher who was fixing to leave. She said, Alex, I live in with my daughter. I can make it. But I just don't feel as if I belong in this place. I know at least 8 people right now, I can tell you, who moved from the West Coast area of Dominica to Antigua and are living there against all odds, but trying to make it happen. So yes, Dr. Trifi, many people feel that sense of hopelessness, that sense that I don't belong, that I should be a particular political dispensation or order for me to make it, and I refuse to. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stay in my corner, and I agree that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to fight against.
And I think we have to continue to be concerned about the shifting culture of Dominica, because as Dave Bertrand is saying on Facebook, he says, even today, an American with our CBI passport was stopped with a briefcase of a high-powered gun and ammunition at the airport. Right? And it begs the question, well, where are you going with that high-powered gun, and what is your purpose of having that gun with you? And you're carrying a Dominican passport. You know, it was to the point where about a year ago, there was this post circulating going around of this movie, and it was of this criminal couple. And when you look in their briefcase, what do you see? A Dominican passport. And I'm not saying what I heard. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eye. So it begs the question, how is the world perceiving us? And why, of all the passports in the world, would that criminal couple in a movie be carrying Dominican passports. I mean, to me, that was just completely heartbreaking. So I think on many levels, we have reasons to be concerned about this shifting culture and this whole culture about CEO and the culture where we seem to be devaluing life, where we have these young men who are taking up guns and just, you know, killing each other for apparently no reason or reasons we don't understand. So I think we have a lot of concern with that. But I want to thank you, Alex and Dr. Trifi, for bringing your expertise to bear on the state of Dominica today. And this is the reason that we have you on the program today, because both of you have recently written books that impact on the culture of Dominica. And so we want to talk about your books and how you are contributing to preserving and advancing our culture through your literary work. So we want to we'll start with Alex this time. So tell us the name of your book, Alex, and tell us why you decided to put pen to paper now.
Okay, well, my book is titled Dame Eugenia, Unedited. As the name implies, it's an interview that I did with the Dame Eugenia in 1999, never been released, where we spoke at length for 2 hours about her life in the politics of our country and in general on Earth. So for ever so long, I've been looking at the interview and I felt now would have been a good time because we have need for a rebirth. And a lot of what Dame Eugenia said in the interview ring true today. The idea behind this book is to begin a series of not just one, but like 6 books, because I'm going to actually document the life of every prime minister. The second book I'm going to do is on Patrick John, and then we move on to, I think, Mr. James. And I think the 7th book in this series will be our current prime minister. I guess by the time I'm done with the series, he might not be in office, or he might still be. You never know what is his plan for what appears to be his country, but we'll determine that when the time is right to write his piece. So I'm looking at a series of books about leaders called the Dominican Political Leadership Legacy. And in those books, I'm trying to identify what would have been the legacy of the individual prime ministers of Dominica. So Dame Eugenia is the first leader. And the book, I think, is exciting. I just actually uploaded the audio version of the book. And if you will have me play something from it, I would be more than happy to do so.
Yes, certainly. You can go ahead.
Narrated by Tania, my dear sister. So that book is futuristic because I think right now most people in the business are not really interested in understanding what created the business, because it is Dame Eugenia who almost single-handedly put the apparatus in place to shift the power and to dilute and to cut the barrier, the ideological barriers in our politics. Today, we have a power-sharing arrangement that pretty much can be credited or traced back to her. So we are nice to her. We are gracious as well. But it is also good to analyze to see where things started. And it was under her watch this coalition government came to play. And we no longer have what she put together. But the remnants of it have created and mushroomed into something that she today, had she been around, she would not have identified. I certainly think Dame Eugenia would not be very happy with what is taking place in the government that she pretty much had a hand in putting together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was my next question to you. What do you think would be her thoughts on what is going on in Dominica, the state of Dominica today? What would have been her thoughts on where we are as a country and a people?
Totally dismayed, bothered, and absolutely disgruntled about what would have happened. I mean, she had great hopes about what was being developed, because remember, I spoke to her in 1999. Mm-hmm. And her principle came through. I mean, she is unapologetic, and I say because to me, she lives in her work. Unapologetic, uncompromising. She was brutishly conservative. Mm. She believed in certain values. She was ideological as well, and ideology politics is good, because if someone stands for something, you know what they stand for, you hold them to it. Our present leadership have no defined political ideology, but just what works. You call it popularism. And in popularism is whatever works for me, whatever works for my legacy and my ambition. Dame Eugenia believed in certain things, and you would expect her to not do certain things. Rosie Douglas believed in certain things. He was a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that the community should raise the child, people should fend for each other, and government has a role to play in assisting people's lives. Patrick John was not quite a socialist. He was a social democratic, a mixed bag. And he believed in the empowerment of individuals. So all these guys had something that they stood for. I'm not too sure what our present leader actually stands for right now, besides safeguarding a legacy, which I will deal with when the time comes, and maintaining a sort of popularism, immersing and emerging powers in and around him. Dame Eugenia would have been frowning today had she been alive. And she was a freedomite. And I heard our present prime minister pontificating that he's a freedomite, even claims that he's the leader of the Freedom Party, which is something else, another conversation that we can have some other time. But the short answer to that is, had the dame been here, you would have been hearing her voice about what is happening in Dominica today.
Absolutely. So Alex, go ahead and cue up the audio that you have while we go over to Dr. Trifi to tell us, why was it important, the name of your book, and why was it important to write this book at this time in history?
Okay, so I'm going to show you what the book looks like. Right. On the cover is a drawing of my grandpa on my mother's side, Grandpa Justin. So I wrote this book because in the Powerball...
First, the name of the book for our listening audience.
Powerball. What is a Powerball? A Powerball... Powerball is a Creole word for parable. And our people have historically kept the wisdom in the Powerball. I wrote the book because I hope that young men, like the one who posted yesterday about not feeling Dominica, have something to read, something to refer to. We're a people of stories, but we tend to tell our stories orally. Well, we've got to move with the times and document things. Use the technology of the time to convert the information into what can be accessible to people now. I have a call out to Dominicans. Whatever your field is, write about it and reference Dominica. Yeah. What is so special about Dominica? I know we're talking about the parts where we're really in suffering, but we're still, I think, on the tail end of a people who created a centenarian culture. Yeah. 2003, what were we like? Dominica boasted the second highest number of centenarians per capita. I mean, a little island like Dominica, the people found a way to live in such a way that they created a good life for a long time. And I think that a lot of their wisdom is encapsulated in the Powerball. We tell it to each other. Some of us can understand it, some of us cannot. Some of us are still learning how to write Creole, which is the language of our ancestors. I'm learning to write Creole. I had a lovely... person sent me behind the scenes some proper spellings for some of the words, but I didn't care. I was giving it my best shot. Not that I didn't care. I think you've got to do the best you can today. Tomorrow we can revise, we can make changes, but do your best today, forget the rest. I think it's just so important for us to document the medicines of Dominica. Bushman, I'm ready for a book from people like Bushman. You understand?
He's on the Facebook Live.
He's on. The music, people like Ra. Yeah, you know, we need documentaries on these things. Not just, yes, I'm just telling you, oh, I remember so-and-so and I remember so-and-so. if it wasn't documented, this is one thing I've learned from my profession. If it was not documented, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you don't want other Dominicans or strange people, foreigners, telling your story. This is your story, yeah? So when I come to America, I don't tell Americans what America is. I come and I learn about America from Americans. I think we have to do that and understand it's our responsibility to do it. Or else other people will come and tell you who you are. And that is not, that is just not the Dominican I was raised and trained to be. Yeah, from, I know Alex said, well, who are you as a Dominican? I mean, for me, Dominicans have been proud people, self-sufficient people, and people who exist in a state of brotherhood and sisterhood. Yeah, as evidenced by the Natiwell principle. Yeah, and if you don't understand what is Natiwell is not like, yeah, the love you feel for your spouse, yeah, or your brother who you are kind of indebted to, you know, like you kind of have to love your brother. It's a love outside of that. It's agape love. It's a bigger love, yeah, where you welcome strangers, yes, but you also take care of your own. You know, we're taking care of our own first. And it's not just about me. And if my stomach is full, I'm okay. No.
Oh boy.
I would feel ashamed if my stomach is full and there are hungry people around me. See, that's Dominican.
Mm-hmm. That was Dominican.
That was Dominican.
I believe it still is. And our job, it still is because I still have the information.
Yeah.
And so our job is to bring that now to the fore, to remind people about who they really are versus who they've been instructed suddenly to become. That is not who you are. You're playing a game. You're acting out a role. You're being caricatured. You're like a cartoon character right now. But that is not who you are. This is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. This is who you are.
Yep.
And get yourself in order. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for our listening audience, I know that many people listen to the radio instead of being on Facebook. So, of course, if you're on Facebook, you can see the book. But for our listening audience, what I went and did, what I did earlier today is I put all the links to Dr. Trifi's book, Alex's book, and two other books that we will be discussing this evening. So all you need to do is go on www.pushpast10.com. And if you scroll towards the middle of the page, you will be able to just click on the link and be able to order this book.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
To a portion of an interview we did with Dr. Trifi and Alex Bruno, and I will be sure to bring you the second portion of that interview in next week, actually. And don't forget, for the information regarding their books, you can always head on over to pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com. to simply click on the link and order a copy of their books. And while you're there, don't forget to check out any past episodes of Untapped Potential you may have missed along the way. There is also a click to our YouTube channel for all the great programming that we continue to carry. So as we continue along with the program this week, as we get the year started off on the right note, I wanted to take a look at this particular article from Forbes, and it is entitled Most Productive Habits to Pick Up in 2024. And that is from Forbes.com, F-O-R-B-E-S.com. And it's interesting that they talk about productive habits to pick up, because I think many times we focus on the bad habits that we have. Maybe we like to procrastinate. Maybe we don't do our meal planning, so we end up eating whatever is available rather than planning our meals, preparing our meals, and having healthy options. But this year, I want us to focus on what are we doing good? What are we doing well? Because I think we can get so bogged down with the negative that sometimes we forget that there's certain things that we are in fact doing well. So I want you to make a list as we get the year started of some of the things that you're doing well. Maybe you're a great mom. Maybe you're a great listener to your friends. Maybe you're a great problem solver. Maybe you're the one who initiates the contacts with your friends. You're the one who organizes events. So let us try to give ourselves some encouragement this year by also focusing on some of the good in us, some of the good in what we do on a daily basis. So again, this particular article is from Forbes.com, and it is entitled Most Productive Habits to Pick Up in 2024. And it talks about, for example, let's see, productivity is often the result of consistent habits that help individuals manage their time, energy, and task effectively. If you're looking for ways to up your productivity in 2024, consider the following 8 habits to pick up. Number 1, prioritize tasks. Start your day by identifying the most important tasks. Use techniques like the Eisenhower matrix to categorize tasks as urgent, important, not urgent, urgent, not important, or neither. Focus on the high priority items first. Block off time carefully. So that's number 2. Allocate specific blocks of time for different activities. This helps prevent multitasking and allows you to concentrate fully on one task at a time. Be sure to include breaks to maintain energy levels. Number 3, get your morning routine down. I am telling you, from my own personal experience, that would be my number 1. Okay, so my number 1 in this list would be get your morning routine down, because I am sure you've had the experience that if your morning is thrown off, you don't do what you're supposed to do in the morning to have a productive day, your entire day is thrown off. So again, get your morning routine down. And it says, establish a morning routine that sets a positive tone for the day. This could include activities like meditation, exercise, reading, or planning. A consistent morning routine can improve focus and motivation. Here's number 4. Stay away from that phone. We all know that it is so true. Stay away from that phone. It's advice you've heard a million times, but that doesn't make it any less true. Identify and minimize potential distractions in your workspace. This might include silencing notification, using website blockers during work periods, or creating a designated quiet space. Instead of relying on tech, work on developing strong communication skills. Clearly express your ideas, actively listen to others, and be concise in your message. This reduces the likelihood of misunderstanding and fosters efficient collaboration so you can run with new ideas. Number 5, say no. The fun new 2024 alternative to say yes. Understand your limits and be willing to decline additional commitments when your plate is full. This helps you avoid overcommitting and ensures you can dedicate sufficient time and effort to your existing responsibilities. So again, a wonderful article, and it goes on to talk about taking breaks, evaluate your progress, delegate tasks. So again, from Forbes.com, and the title of this article is, let's go back to the top, Most Productive Habits to Pick Up in 2024. And as we talked about before, don't forget, let us start off this year by also reminding ourselves of what we are doing well, because that will be fortifying. It will encourage us to take on even more things that we are capable of doing well, and to encourage us to attempt what we are still lacking, the areas we are still lacking in. So here we are at the end of the program. It is always wonderful to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. It is great to be back with you for another year as we get powered up and energized together, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we ought to be working on for 2024. So again, a happy 2024 to you. I hope that you have great plans for moving your life forward. Don't forget to follow us on social media, especially Facebook at Push Past 10 on Facebook. And tomorrow is Wednesday, we will have another very engaging conversation on Roots Connections on Q95 Radio. And you can get that program on Push Past 10 as well. So we will be talking about agriculture. How do we move agriculture forward in Dominica? We have two very innovative and enterprising women joining us who are in this space, and they're making great strides in agriculture. So we're going to look at new pathways to securing financial success in agriculture. So I hope that you will join us on Q95 Radio Dominica to hear more about this program. And so again, don't forget pushpast10.com for all the information you need about what we do with Push Past 10, Untapped Potential, and Roots Connection. So again, thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential. We will be back next week at the same time, Tuesday, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, as we get energized and powered up for the week ahead. So don't forget, your life story is your strength. The challenges you faced in the past have prepared you for the challenges that you face today. So remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay engaged, stay active. Until we meet again right back here next week, you have yourself